Nice to be here tonight. I've enjoyed the day very much. And we want to work out of Luke chapter 7 tonight. The Gospel by Luke chapter 7. And we shall begin our reading at verse 36. Luke chapter 7, verse 36. Where we read, and one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment, and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she's a sinner. And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he saith, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence, and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, Thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath watered my feet with tears, and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Therefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, Who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said to the woman, Thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you tonight that we have access into thy very presence. And our brother exhorted us to pray. And the best thing we can do is pray. And we thank you that we can say like Mary and Martha, She whom thou lovest is sick. And we thank you that you're more interested in Pam than we are. And we ask you to graciously undertake for her need in your will, and in accordance with your will. For you always do that which is right. You cannot do that which is wrong, for thou art holy. And we thank you, our Father, for thy perfections, and for the perfections of our great high priest, who is there making intercession for us, and for the Holy Spirit who dwells within, who prays with earnestness and with groanings which cannot be uttered, but he makes intercession according to the will of God. And with these things before us, we thank you for the privilege of prayer. And now, Father, as we turn to multiply words upon that portion that we've read tonight, we ask you in the name of your dear Son to abundantly bless your word. Use thy word tonight in our lives to glorify yourself for Jesus' sake. Amen. In Paul's first missionary journey, in the 13th chapter of the book of the Acts, you remember, he came to a place called Antioch in Pisidia, and it was there that he preached that sermon, there in the synagogue, where they had the reading of the law and the prophets. And then they said, "Is there anyone here with a word?" And "Stay on." And Paul stood up. And he closed that sermon in verse 38. He really didn't close it. He climaxed that sermon in verse 38 of Acts 13. And he said, "Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him all that believe are justified from all things from which they could not be justified by the law of Moses." What a message. Through this man, the person of Christ, is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. Now, in the passage tonight that we read together, we read about the forgiveness of sins and what forgiveness of sins produces. And we noticed from our reading in the passage that we read that love or forgiveness produces devotion. There are three people in our text that we want to talk about tonight. We want to try to draw three pictures tonight. First of all, we have Simon the Pharisee. And then we have a woman who is a sinner. And here we have two opposite ends of society. A Pharisee who is very punctilious in his religion, and a woman who is a sinner. But both these people meet because of one person. They meet because of the person of Christ. The Pharisee invites Christ to his home, and then the woman knows where the Lord Jesus is, and she goes where he is. So among these two who are at opposite ends of society, we have the lovely Savior of sinners, the one who provides forgiveness. "Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins." First of all, tonight, let us notice the proud Pharisee. He wanted Jesus to eat with him. But why he wanted him to eat with him, I can't tell. It certainly wasn't for hospitality's sake. You see, he denied the Lord every Eastern courtesy there is. You see, water for his feet, oil for his head, and a kiss. When two people from the East meet, they usually kiss each other on meeting. And he gave the Lord none of this. Now, it could be for curiosity that he invited him in. It could even be for hostility. For we know that they laid many traps for our Lord to try to bring an accusation against him. Simon was orthodox in his creed, but he had no love in his heart. It's possible to be loveless, but orthodox. I've met some like that in my time. There is nothing quite as contemptible as religion like that. Orthodox in creed, but cold in heart. But we don't want to condemn Simon. The poor man has been in his grave for over 1900 years. That's a long time. He's been in his grave. What was wrong with this man, Simon? Well, number one, he was content with himself. And anyone who's content with himself can become cold as Simon was in a very short time. He had no sense of sin, and he had no sense of God's forgiveness. These are two things he didn't understand. You see, to enjoy the forgiveness of sin we have to have a sense of sin. And that's why many of the older gospel preachers used to talk about getting people lost in order that they come to the Savior to be saved. It's only lost people that God saves. The Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. All that Simon knew about God was mere theory. That's all he had, theory. His activity was self-destroying. His activity was soul-destroying. His activity was self-righteous. Simon the Pharisee. Oh, may God deliver us from this dreadful peril that is soul-destroying. Now, Simon saw this woman when she entered into his house. He saw where she stood. He saw the tears. And he saw how she wiped them. And as he saw her, he spoke to himself. Ever talk to yourself? I tell my wife I like to talk to myself because I like to talk to an intelligent person. And then I tell my wife I like to talk to myself because I always agree with myself. But in all, do you ever talk to yourself? You tell yourself things that you don't tell anybody else. I'll tell you that. How do I know? There's a little verse in the book of Proverbs that says, as face answereth to face in water, so the heart of man to the heart of man. I'm just like you are. And you're just like I am. But Simon, he stood and he talked with himself. And what he said to himself is recorded. First of all, he had question marks about the Savior. He said, if he were a prophet, he'd know what kind of a woman this was. Our Savior did know. Furthermore, he said, that woman is a sinner. Well, she was a sinner, but now she's a believer. Now she's a sinner, but she's saved by grace. She had been cleansed, Simon, and now she is much, much cleaner than you are. Simon, with all your religion, your need is much greater than that woman's. Let's take a look at the woman. You see, and that woman is what we could call a penitent woman. That's what she was. In the back of this woman's life, there was tragedy. She, in all probability, had a tragic background, and Simon knew it. At one time, that woman was someone's precious child. I tell you, I often think of that whenever I go to prison or when I go to the penitentiary to talk to prisoners. Now, I watch when you come to the meeting. I watched when Lewis brought in his little daughter tonight. My, aren't they precious? This woman was one time a little girl in her mother and in her dad's arms. Things went wrong, didn't they? Yes. And she became the plaything of the devil. Now, nobody ever expects it will end that way. But that's what sin does. We have a cry today, I want my liberty. And what they're really saying is, I want my license to sin. And Satan will bring the bondage with it. But you see, the Lord Jesus looked at that woman. She had met Christ. And the Lord can say to those who are in sin, as he could say to her, daughter, I know all about your transgression. I know all about the tragedy of your life. I know all about the heartbreak. I know all about the isolation. People don't want to associate with you. I know all about that. I know all about the shame and the frown of the religious public. Your sin and your disgrace may be great, but I have something to tell you. My love and my grace is much, much greater. Ah, friends, we sang a great hymn tonight. I hadn't sung that hymn for years. When I was a teenager, I started witnessing for the Lord in the county jail. And we had a leader at the county jail by the name of Rufus Walters. And every time we had a jail service, he'd sing that hymn. In loving kindness, Jesus came, my soul in mercy to reclaim. And from the depths of sin and shame, through grace, he lifted me. From sinking sand, he lifted me. With tender hand, he lifted me. From shades of night to plains of light. Oh, praise his name, he lifted me. Rufus is with the Lord for a number of years. You see, this dear woman had met the Savior. And he had received her. And the woman forgot all about the scorn of the past, all about the derision of other people. She simply had to tell the Lord Jesus how much she loved him. Forgiveness produces devotion. You know, there are only two people in the Bible that I know of who kissed Jesus. I heard a Scottish preacher, I won't mention his name, but he made a statement a number of years ago, and then a few months later I heard him make it again to a group of preachers in a place called Greensboro. And he mentioned that Arthur Pink said, and I happen to like Arthur Pink as well, Arthur Pink said, when two things occur in the Scripture, they are usually at opposite one to the other. And you know the two people that kissed the Lord Jesus, the one was Judas, the other is in our text. You can't get more opposite, can you? Love produces devotion. Sin produces betrayal. Oh, what a difference. What a difference between these two. Now, in verse 47, we want to deal with that, where the Lord Jesus said, "Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little." What that really means is this. This woman was not forgiven because she loved. Her love was the proof that she had been forgiven. You can't love God, friends, with a sinful heart until we know something of the infinite grace of God which has reached us. And this woman knew something of the infinite grace of God that reached her and lifted her from sinking sand, from shades of night to plains of light. She knew that. And forgiveness and love flowed from her to the Savior who had received her in love and had lifted her and forgiven her. Now that brings us to the pardoning Savior. We saw Simon the Pharisee. We saw the wicked woman or the sinful woman. But now we take a look at the pardoning Savior. You see, Simon accepted Jesus accepted Simon's invitation to come to his home in spite of his attitude. Now, the Lord knew his attitude. In spite of the insult that he received, he got no kiss. He got no water for his feet. He got no oil for his head. He didn't get any of these things, you see. But our Lord Jesus accepted it, and he came. Even the neglect of hospitality, the Lord came. You know, there's a lesson for me here. If we want to win souls for Christ, we have to be willing, as God's servants, to learn to take insults. People aren't going to wrap their arms around you and say, "Oh, I love you because you told me I was lost." There's a missionary on the mission field today. If I mention his name, most of you will know him. Carl Knott. No, Carl? I saw his picture out there on the mission board. Carl wrote me and he said this. He said, "You were one preacher I didn't like. I was religious, but I was lost because you put your finger on my sin." He was at least honest. "I was one preacher you didn't like." He said, "But now, since God has really saved me, and I know what it is to be saved, and I'm not playing at religion, you're the kind I really love." What a transformation, you see. What a transformation. So, we must be willing, and we must learn to take insults as the Lord's people. The Lord speaks to Simon. You see, Simon was thinking and talking to himself. And he hadn't said anything. So the Lord starts to talk to him. Simon hadn't opened his mouth. And you see, this tells me that the Lord knew Simon better than Simon knew himself. And my friend, if you're here tonight and you don't know the Lord Jesus knows you better than you know yourself too. In the book of the Revelation, chapter 1, our Lord Jesus says, "I am the first and the last." God never permits man to have the first word. And he's certainly never going to permit man to have the last one. So in between the first and the last, man struts across a stage of life and he says an awful lot. But God has the last word. Now, no matter who you are, no matter what you do, and no matter what you think, and no matter what you say, God has the last word. And it's with God that you have to do. And here we have the Lord Jesus. He knew Simon better than Simon knew himself. And Jesus told the story of the two debtors. And you know the story of the two debtors. We read it tonight. Here are two men who borrowed money. One borrowed a little bit, and the other borrowed an awful lot. But neither one could pay. And he forgave both of them. Then he says, "Simon, now which one's going to love him the most?" Well, Simon said, "Well, the one who he forgave the most." What was Simon thinking? He was thinking of that woman. If he were a prophet, he'd know what kind of a woman she is, and he'd have nothing to do with her. But me, I'm Simon. I'm religious. God will have a lot to do with me. Our Lord just simply said, who's going to love him the most? The one who he forgave most? That's what Simon said. And of course, Simon gives the inevitable answer. Isn't our Lord amazing the way in which he gets answers from people? Oh, when I think of the judgment of the lost, when they stand before a holy, all-knowing God. I don't know if you read the Gospel by Matthew in such a way that you did a little thinking and asking yourself questions as you go through it. You know, I think it's chapter 22 of Matthew where they come to the Lord and they say, who gave you this authority to do these things? The Lord said, I'm not going to tell you, but I'm going to ask you a question. The baptism of John, was it from heaven or from among men? And boy, he just asked a simple question. And of course, they said to themselves, boy, if we say from heaven, then we'll have to acknowledge that God sent him. If we say from men, we're in trouble that way too. Because the people thought that John was a prophet of God. So they said to the Lord, we take the Fifth Amendment. We're not going to tell you. We can't tell you. And he said, so I won't tell you from where I get my authority. But then he told a parable. He told a parable of the man who lent out his land to men who would bring forth fruit thereof. And in due time, he sent servants, and they beat them up. And finally, he sent his son. And he said, this is the heir, come let us kill him. And he said, now what shall the rich man do with those stewards? Oh, they said, they'll cast him out of the vineyard. And they'll give the vineyard to others who are going to bring forth fruit thereof. And he said, and then he went back to John the Baptist. And he talked about John the Baptist. Out of their own mouth, these people proclaimed their own guilt. And they published their own punishment. And you know, when I read that story there, and I've just said just a few words about it. When I read that, I learn something. I learn that men are going to stand before God in the judgment. They're going to proclaim their own guilt. And they're going to publish their own punishment. Who's going to have the last word? God will. Men will condemn themselves. And that's exactly what Simon is doing. Our Lord said to Simon, said, Simon, do you see this woman? No, Simon, he hadn't seen her. He thought he did, but he didn't. You see, Simon, your problem is you don't understand the whole scheme of amazing grace and the marvel of divine grace. You don't understand it, Simon. And here's the parable, beloved, and when we understand it, it sets our hearts aflame in the love of Christ. Do we really understand it? Well, first of all, it's in three parts. There was common indebtedness. See, the man who just borrowed a little, he couldn't pay. The man who borrowed a lot couldn't pay. There was a common indebtedness. I made a statement one Sunday morning here a couple years ago. And it was like this. There are three resurrections of people, or three people, that our Lord raised from the dead. That we have an account of in the Gospels. First of all, there was the little girl, the daughter of Jairus, and she was dead just a short time. Then there was the widow of Nain's son. He would probably die that day, for Jews buried in the same day. And he spoiled the funeral procession. Don't take our Lord to a funeral. He's going to spoil it. He spoiled the funeral. He raised the boy from the dead. And then there was Lazarus. He had been dead 4 days. Which one was the deadest? They were alike dead. The only difference was the degree of decay. That's all. And you see, we look at men and women and that we judge by the degree of decay that we see in the earthly life. But as far as God is concerned, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Sin is a debt that we owe to God. But not only was there a common indebtedness, number two, there was a common bankruptcy too. They were both bankrupt. They had nothing to pay. Not Simon thought he was so different. Maybe you do. Maybe you think you're so different. But you're really not. There's a common bankruptcy. You see, mending our ways does not touch the past. And God requires that which is past. Hating sin does not deal with responsibility. Every transgression we read in Hebrews chapter 2, every transgression and disobedience shall receive its just recompense of reward. We must come to God with empty hands. As Toplady wrote, nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. God is not going to accept my dividends as part payment for the debt. He's not going to accept my dividends, friends, even in days of cheap evangelism. We have to come to God with empty hands. We can't come any other way. But now notice the third thing. There was a common indebtedness. There was common bankruptcy. But there was forgiveness for both. He frankly forgave them both. The one that owed a little, the one that owed a lot. Simon, will you receive it? Will you come just as this woman came? You see, grace expects treatment like Jesus received from Simon. Simon, will you come? I'd like to leave two things with you in closing. Are you like this woman? Sinful? Seeing the holiness of God? Seeing an empty cross and an empty tomb, but an occupied throne? Oh, the one who died for our sins according to the scriptures. The cross is empty. The work is done. The grave is empty. God raised him from the dead and gave him glory. And there's a man in the glory tonight. Jesus Christ the Lord is in the glory tonight. Are you like this woman? Or are you like Simon? You see, friends, tonight, when we talk about the love of Calvary, we're talking about a love you cannot buy. Furthermore, we're talking about a mercy you cannot bribe. For the Word of God says in the 103rd Psalm, as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him. Like as a father pitieth his children, so pitieth the Lord pities them that fear Him. And beloved, we have a love that you cannot buy. We have a mercy you cannot bribe. And we have a grace that is independent of character, whether it's good or whether it's bad. And it all flows from that blessed one who died and rose again, even our Lord Jesus Christ. Let me tell you something. When I read this story, I'm like that. I was like that woman. I needed the forgiveness of God. And I thank God for the day that he opened my eyes and he showed me that I was a sinner. And that through Jesus Christ the Lord is preached the forgiveness of sins. And by him, all that believe are justified from all things from which they could not be justified by the law of Moses. We have a love that you can't buy. We have a mercy, a grace that you can't bribe. And a mercy you can't bribe. And a grace that doesn't depend on character. Depends on him from whom that grace flows. My friend, is that yours tonight? Can you speak and can you sing of the forgiveness that's in Christ Jesus and do it with a heart that's free? You know, and tonight at the Lord's Supper, I was thinking of the verse of a hymn and I quoted it to the Lord in silence. John Nelson Darby wrote it. He said, O Jesus, Lord, who loved me like to thee? Fruit of thy work, with thee too there to see, thy glory, Lord, while endless ages roll, myself the prize, the travail of thy soul. Friend, we love much because we've been forgiven much. And the longer I study the Word of God, the more I read and realize the depths of sin and what God has saved me from. It makes me love the Lord all the more for what he's done for me. Let's pray together. Our Father, we commend to thee tonight these dear ones who've gathered together to hear your word. We pray that they may rejoice in an empty cross, in an empty tomb, and in an occupied throne, and realize the forgiveness that is available in and through the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. Truly, you have loved us with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, you have drawn us. Take this word now. Bless it to every heart. Go with us to our respective homes. May the devotion flow to thee because of the forgiveness that is ours in thy dear Son. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.